Coming up is going to be John Latimer's Phenology Report for this July 7th. I'm Heidi Holton. If you are listening through our webpage, I want to recommend you to sign up for the Season Watch podcast. Now you'll be getting John's Phenology Report through that podcast. Find the links at kexc.org or take a look at the podcast platforms you might already use, like Spotify or Apple. We've got John's Phenology Report here. It is voluminous, one might say. We had a great morning this Tuesday. John is now off to lead a nature hike. I just finished up with the morning show. I'm Heidi Holton. And John was talking about all the flowers in northern Minnesota that are flowering. That included things like Horiolissum, white sweet clover, mullein, round leaf pyrola. And if the names don't mean anything to you, like it sometimes is to me, you can easily look those up and find those photos. And I bet you anything, if you live in northern Minnesota, you have seen them before. Feels really good to put names to the plants. He also talked about the water hemlock, which is a poisonous plant. He said, this is the one we need to learn unless we want to end up dead. Here's John Latimer's full phenology report on KEXC.
It's time for phenology. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And this time of year, it's pretty amazing. A lot of the things that I'm going to read off for you now, a lot of the flowers that I'm seeing in bloom are, you know, they're within days of their average. And part of that is that, you know, in the springtime, a bit of a delay, a bit of cold, a bit of, you know, ice, it can slow things down, or an early spring can speed things up. But by the time you get to the 1st of July, things are falling into a pretty regular pattern. And there doesn't seem to be a great deal of variation among some of these observations. I noticed, for example, that I saw that the Timothy grass is now in flower, and that's just 4 days later than my average, so that's nearly the same. Mullein, first flowers, 1 day late, seeing a lot of... I was out in the hayfield with my grandson, and we were checking things out there, and a lot of the flowers out there, the Horiolissum is, you know, right on schedule. White sweet clover is now begun to bloom, and it's within a day or two of its regular blooming date. Yellow avens, this is a plant, this is the one that creates the little stick tights, the little, when you're walking through the woods and you end up with these little brown seeds stuck to your pant legs. They got two little prongs on them that help those seeds hitchhike on you. Those start off as five-petaled yellow flowers that are about a half inch across. And if you look at the plant itself, you'll see that the leaf is lobed quite a bit like a maple leaf. It's a very rough looking leaf compared to some. It's got heavily lobed with deep sinuses, and that is a plant called yellow avens. Wood nettle is right on the verge of blooming, and wood nettle is tall, and the flowers are inconspicuous or nearly so. They're very, very, very small flowers that are difficult to examine even because A, you don't want to hold on to the plant to pull it in close to look at it because it'll leave you itching. But it's, you know, right about on average when you'd expect it to be. I was exploring in the woods by my house, and I came across an old favorite of mine, round-leaved pyrola. Now, round-leaved pyrola, the leaves are often evergreen so that they will be green in the springtime, and they are nearly round, and the flower that is present right now is five petals and sort of cup-shaped and downward facing. So you can, if you see these from the top, you're going to see incomplete flowers, little white balls and little white knobs as you go down. And then toward the bottom, the plant, the flowers that are already open are going to be these white downward facing cups. And you're not going to see anything there unless you lay down on the ground. And I spent about 15 minutes yesterday trying to get my camera to take a picture of the flower itself, because the flower itself is quite unique. It has some very large structures that are both male and female, and they are there in below that little cup, but very difficult to get my camera to want to focus at, say, 5 or 6 inches, where it really doesn't really want to focus sharply until it's out about a foot. So it's just one of those things. If you if you're walking through the woods and you come across this little column of white flowers, get down on your hands and knees and check it out. The pyrola is quite exciting for me. Common mullein, that big tall plant that has this very soft pale green leaves, very hairy, that is just starting to bloom. I saw the first flowers on the common mullein yesterday, and they will continue now to bloom and become quite yellow in the next few days. Big tall spikes of yellow flowers at the tops of these very leafy plants. Early goldenrod is about to bloom at my house. Yesterday, the flower heads were bright yellow, and I would expect that today or tomorrow they will be in flower. So early goldenrod is right there. Common fleabane, that little half-inch pink flower with the dozens of rays. So think of a daisy. It's got a yellow center. It's got maybe a dozen white rays, petals that stick out around the yellow flower in the center. The common fleabane has about 50 of those, and they're not very broad. They're mostly little needle-like petal or rays that stick out. But there are dozens and dozens of them, and that is common fleabane. There are three or four different kinds of fleabanes, but the one that's most common is the common fleabane. If you're curious, look at the stem. The stem is going to be very hairy, little white hairs all over the stem, and the leaves are going to be sort of clasping the stem. So there's not a petiole that separates the plant stem from the leaf. The leaf just kind of backs its way around the stem and sort of wraps itself around the stem a little bit. That's fleabane. Another white flower that's blooming right now and really increasing every day is one called yarrow. And yarrow is 2 to 3 inch cluster of tiny white flowers. There'll be 50 flowers on a yarrow without any problem at all. And if you're careful and you look carefully among the yarrow flowers, you might find a crab spider. And once the goldenrods come out, that is an even better spot to look for the crab spider. But the goldenrod crab spider, the one that you're likely to find on yarrow or on goldenrod, can change color. It can be yellow on the goldenrod. It can be white on the yarrow. It's not like it crawls off of goldenrod and goes over to yarrow and turns white. It takes a week or more for it to actually shift its color from white to yellow or yellow to white. The other color is kind of a pale green. But this is a slow process. And scientists have actually captured these little crab spiders and forced them from say goldenrod, where they're yellow, to yarrow, where they stand out like big yellow objects on a white flower. And left to their own devices, these spiders will quickly leave the yarrow and go back to the goldenrod. But if you isolate them and force them to stay on a white flower, it takes a week to 10 days before they actually make the shift from yellow to white. They often have a pink blaze on the side of their abdomen, and that blaze remains there. I mean, they may be white with a pink blaze, they may be yellow with a pink blaze, but that pink blaze remains on their side, so it's pretty visible when you actually capture one of these. So once the goldenrod start flowering, start checking them out. In the meantime, check out the yarrow. Maybe you'll find one of these crab spiders. They're pretty cool. Thimbleweed, which is an anemone, a member of the anemone family. It is doesn't look at all like the Canada anemone or the wood anemone. It is, it's got a five-petaled, light whitish-green flower, but now at this point it's just a kind of a bristly-looking seed head. But it is pretty obvious right now that that the thimbleweed is done flowering for the year. Black-eyed Susans are flowering pretty heavily. I saw my first water hemlock, which is a exceedingly poisonous plant. Grows in the ditches, white disks like the yarrow, white disks of flowers, but the leaves are not at all yarrow-like. Yarrow is a shorter plant with fern-like leaves, and water hemlock has leaves that are quite elongated and distinctive in their own right, but not at all like the yarrow. So watch for water hemlock. If you find it growing, be really careful with that one. If you would dig it up and, say, slice the root with your knife and then somehow get that sap in your mouth, it wouldn't take very long, and you would be very, very, very sick. And in fact, a lot of the people who have made the mistake of tasting water hemlock end up dead. So be really careful. Learn that one and be alert for it. The other note that I have is that I found my first ripe raspberry this last week on Saturday. And yesterday I saw still a few raspberry flowers that are in bloom, but most of them have done their blooming and are berries now, or green berries on their way to becoming ripe. And Juneberry, I ate my first Juneberry on Sunday with my grandson, and we had quite the time. Now, I talked about Juneberry on Daily Dose of Phenology this morning, and you will be able to listen to that during the day, but Juneberries flower synchronously, and they fruit asynchronously, so that a few get ripe at a time. And if you are not there to pick them, the birds will be. And I know it took me a while to get myself acclimated to this sort of behavior. You look at the Juneberry and you see five or six ripe berries, and you think to yourself, oh, by tomorrow there'll be a dozen or two dozen berries that'll be ripe. And you come back the next day and there's like five ripe berries, and you think, what happened? Well, the robins and the cedar waxwings and the white-throated sparrows and a lot of other birds, veeries, I think, because I'm hearing a lot of them, wood thrushes and it's the other hermit thrush. All of those birds are fond of those berries, and they come and eat them as they ripen, so a little hard to keep up with the Juneberries. A couple of notes about some insects this past week. Mostly a few dragonflies, not too many, but a couple of dragonflies. But sulfur butterflies seem to be at their peak. There are a lot of Atlantis fritillaries around my place, white admirals, Virginia tanuka moths, ebony jewelwing. This is a damselfly that is fairly large, has an iridescent blue or green body depending on how the sunlight is hitting it, and has jet black wings. So Look for those while you're out in the woods and along stream edges. They are really quite remarkable. I will say this, the spreading dogbane at my house is absolutely at its peak. I was standing downwind of it yesterday, and it just was overwhelming, the smell. There were dozens of butterflies in there, including the Atlantis fritillary and the White Admiral and the Virginia Chinooka moth and a dozen more that probably didn't. There were some checker spots. It was just a menagerie of butterflies yesterday in my spreading dogbane. So if you have spreading dogbane, now's a good time to go out and look it over. It's got these little white flowers that are bell-shaped that are streaked with pink, and the plant itself is red. It has a red stem and bright green leaves, and it is quite remarkable in its attraction to butterflies this time of year. Basswood, when I checked on them on Saturday, had not yet begun to flower. This is the time of year. It's usually around the 8th of July that the basswoods flower. Bur oak, I was pulling down some branches and looking at them, and there are some acorns forming on the bur oaks. They're about a centimeter in diameter. Mountain maple leaves or seeds are starting to turn brown. There are lots of fruits on the American mountain ash. Hazel, both American and beaked, have lots of fruits. Both smooth sumac and staghorn sumac began to bloom this last week. And also northern holly began to bloom this last week. So there are some plants that are just getting their flowering beginning, and there are plants who have ripe fruits. Lots going on out there, and I hope that you will get out and enjoy it. As one of the kids noted on our phenology talkback section, the red-eyed vireos are doing a lot of singing right now. The rest of the songs are going to start to fall off over the first week or two of July. By the end of the month of July, they'll be almost done, and it'll just be the red-eyed vireo that is singing. Red elderberry, full of berries right now, and the birds are going to be starting to eat them any day now, and they will disappear quickly once they reach their, I don't know, I won't say peak sweetness, because I don't eat them because they give you diarrhea and make you vomit, which is two of the things I'd rather not be doing, especially in the summertime. So I don't know how sweet they are, but I know that they're getting deeply red, and it won't be very long, and the birds will turn to them and eat them. That's our phenology show for this week. As always, if you have comments, questions, or observations to share, we'd love to hear from you.